Yeah, 5 o'clock hour of the Hawk and Crowder simulcast. Alex Dono and Alex Solana in for Hawk and Crowder today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Also got Dan Day, Mr. Minez Sandwich holding it down in the back. Jay Figg as well. Of course, we're going to have Jay Figg's movie review coming up at the end of the hour, at the end of the show. I'm going to have Dan Day's headlines in a moment. So, predictably, the text line Solana has turned into a big debate over OAN and Mike Gundy's t-shirt. And again, full disclosure, I had never heard of OAN until yesterday. And I don't know, I've seen it described as a far-right news outlet. I had no idea. When I first saw the t-shirt, I thought he was wearing the t-shirt of an alternative rock band. Like, I confused OAN with OAR. I didn't know what it was, right? And so, you know, a lot of people are texting in about cancel culture. And yeah, look, Solana, big picture, I can agree that cancel culture gets very excessive. And like, especially when, you know, in certain aspects, you may be judging a person you've never met on one tweet or one thing they said or one thing they wore that could have been years ago, and you completely label them an awful person without knowing anything else about them. It can be very unfair. Now, I'm sure in certain cases, people are canceled fairly. In other cases, they're canceled unfairly. So while I'm not a fan of cancel culture in the grand scheme of things, I think you said it best to me, because we were talking during the break about Mike Gundy's situation. Whether or not people think cancel culture is excessive or ridiculous, like I think in his case, doing what he does for a living, I just think he needs to be more aware of what he's doing and what he could be photographed in, and not realizing that could be something that bites him in the ass.
And right now, Dono, I mean, and a lot of people are texting us as well that, you know, OAN isn't a far-right news network, and like, you can watch and consume whatever type of media you want. That's what's great about this country. However, right now, we're in a period of civil unrest around the country. A lot of young people, a lot of young Black Americans are finding are paying more attention, are more willing to talk about this Black Lives Matter movement. And this is a network, OAN, which is called the Black Lives Matter movement a farce. Like, this is well documented. So when you're Mike Gundy and you're looking around and you're seeing all the civil unrest, all the protests, these large mass gatherings of people supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of them players of his, which we learned Chubba, right, is one of the players.
Chuba, excuse me.
You're going to face backlash from your own players. And that's what happened yesterday. And again, you're free to wear whatever shirt you want, but you're not free from criticism from people who don't agree with you. And the people who don't agree with him just so happen to be his players.
Yeah, totally, totally. And listen, to people texting in about political stuff, like, it's not, you know, it's not what I wanted to spend 4 hours on today by any stretch of the imagination. And like, you know, like in my case, Solana, I'm very centrist. Like, I'm liberal on a lot of social issues. I'm conservative on things like the Second Amendment and on, you know, not being a fan of cancel culture, because I try not to judge a human being on one t-shirt or one tweet or anything like that. So I get it. I just think that the point here is, I think you and I are aware enough of cancel culture that, you know, and Mike Gundy probably should be, to know that, yeah, there are going to, whether it's fair or not, there are going to be repercussions for that. That's my entire take on this. Let's get some headlines from our man from Nolens, Dan Day. Dan?
Yes, indeed. Here we go. Former Canes Ken Dorsey, Ray Lewis, and Dan Morgan are on the 2021 ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Three of my favorite players, man. I mean, you know, Ray Lewis probably should have gotten in sooner, a lot sooner, because he played before those other guys. He played in the 90s, so I don't know why it took him so long. Ken Dorsey, my favorite quarterback in Miami history. Dan Morgan, I think, one of the more underrated players in Miami history. Yeah, people who watched Dan Morgan, who I think his final year was 2000, so he just missed out on a championship. Like, people who watch Dan Morgan know what an incredible player he was, had a good NFL career as well. But I think a lot of Canes fans, if you were born like in the 90s or after the year 2000, you just didn't have the pleasure of watching that man play middle linebacker, so you might not know about it. But, you know, again, I'll bring up what I was harping on early in the show, Solana, is that Notably, a guy who is not up for College Football Hall of Fame and apparently will never be unless they change the rule of who's eligible is Howard Schnellenberger, because they've got this dopey rule with the College Football Hall of Fame for coaches that you have to have won at least 60% of your games to be eligible. I don't think it's fair to make that a non-starter, because in the case of Howard Schnellenberger, yeah, his win-loss record suffered because he built a program from scratch in FAU. So yeah, you wouldn't expect him to have had a great winning percentage there when there was literally no program before he built the program. You know, maybe lost a few too many games at Louisville, but at Miami, you know, this guy created one of the biggest juggernauts in the history of college football when he built the U into the monster that they became throughout the 1980s. Like, you've got to be able to make a special case for Howard Schnellenberger to be a College Football Hall of Famer. Like, how can you have a College Football Hall of Fame without that man in it?
The Hall of Fame is so controversial in every sport, Dono, and I'm just so sick of it. Like, when in baseball, they don't want to let the players who dominated an entire era... Oh, what happened there, Dono? You knocked over your beer mug? Knocked over
I'm so spoiled here. I'm actually at my parents' house doing the show because they're watching my kid while I'm on the air. And my father actually just walked in and brought me an espresso that he made for me.
Wow.
And it was like the espresso cup was sitting in a saucer, and I just dropped the saucer. So, yeah, it sounded like something catastrophic happened. The good news is the coffee is fine.
Did they bring you like one of those little cookies that comes with the espressos at the fancy Italian restaurants?
He did not, but You know what? I will chew him out after the show for not bringing me one of those.
Yeah, I forget what they're called, but those like little sugar cookies.
Biscotto.
The biscotte, that's right. The biscotto.
Yeah, biscotto is singular. Biscotti is plural. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people will call one cookie a biscotti when that's actually plural. It's biscotto is singular.
Dande, we can hear Dono sipping on his espresso in the background, and meanwhile, you and I are here in the studio. No espresso.
Nothing.
Unbelievable.
I do like how we have a trade-off program. Jay Figg is not at her parents' house today, but Dono is.
Right.
Yeah. I love it, man. I don't know why we created this social convention that, you know, once you get to be a grown up and you get married, that you can't live with your parents anymore. Like, you know, my wife and I and my son, we live, we live in our own house. But, you know, I would totally live with my parents if it was socially acceptable. I'm not sure why I ever moved out.
It's been the worst thing about this quarantine personally for me, Dono. And I mentioned it earlier that every weekend or even on the weekdays, I'd go to my parents' house. I'd have free meals. I mean, I was
so
eating
good
all the time for free. And now during the quarantine, I've been forced to cook. Oh, I'm over it.
What else we got, Dan?
Thank you.
Yes, Jay Figg.
They keep making fun of me, and I'm the one winning here.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't know why. I don't know why I ever moved out. Like, and they got plenty of room here at my parents' house. They got a bedroom for me and my wife. They got a bedroom for my son. I don't know why I ever moved out.
That's nice. I want coffee, too. Solana, give me some.
Poor Solana and I, we get kicked out on our rear ends the day we turn 18, and
literally,
you guys suckling on the teat of your parents.
Literally.
Congratulations, I guess. Okay, well, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says the league's restart may not be ideal, but stresses participation is not mandatory.
And I think that's important because, you know, they're not literally forcing players to do this by saying, hey, you could lose your roster spot or you could lose your status in the league. Now, the guys who don't show up to Orlando won't get paid for the games that they don't play in. But it's a tough one, man, because like Solana, I've learned over the last couple of months that it is complicated when you want to get these leagues up and running again, because it's not like, you know, the owners can just unilaterally tell the players what to do. It's why they have players unions and other perspectives need to be heard. And so when you're talking about the concerns that players have, part of it are, you know, the social justice concerns. Part of it are health concerns with COVID-19. Part of it are, you know, concerns over being away from your families for 3.5 months. And I get it. These guys are well paid. You don't want to hear it. But listen, I've got a young son, and it's hard enough to be away from him for a long weekend, let alone thinking about, you know, leaving my family for 3.5 months. So I get it. Like, I understand the reservations players have about that. So I don't know. It seems to me like And we talked about this earlier in the show. Like, I think this Orlando bubble is going to happen. They are going to finish the season, but not everyone's going to take part in it.
If LeBron wants to ball, Dono, Patrick Beverley said it, they're going to ball. And I think it's becoming more and more clear that's going to happen. But you're right. This was about a conversation. Players wanted to be heard. They wanted their questions. They wanted their trepidations toward this bubble, towards this restart, to be heard by the NBA. And at least the NBA is self-aware enough to understand players want this and they're going to make it happen. So I think at some point we'll get basketball, whether or not everybody goes. That we'll have to see.
Okay, let's take a step into the day spa real quick. I was going to talk about Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest happening with no fans in attendance, but a source to be unnamed has told me something even more interesting that's breaking. Ford will unveil a new Bronco on O.J. Simpson's birthday, and they say it's, quote-unquote, purely coincidental.
That is such a great choice. Like, there's no way that's a coincidence. There's no way. And I get it that, like, they can't admit it, that they're doing it on purpose, because then, oh, they're going to get canceled. Like, Ford would get cancel culture, would cancel them, because, oh, my God, they're using, you know, an alleged murderer to sell their car. What that is a brilliant troll. Like, the idea of Ford releasing a new Bronco on O.J. Simpson's birthday, the only guy you've ever heard of who actually drove a Bronco, you know, 25 years ago, whatever it was. Like, that is a brilliant troll.
He's done more for the Ford Bronco than anyone.
Absolutely.
This report is brought to you by Rubenstein Law. Coincidentally, 1-800-FL-LEGAL, car accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, Bronco accident, or slip and fall, call Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL.
Good stuff there from Dan Day. All right, so when we come back, we're going to step into the archives. I'm really looking forward to hearing this, because I don't think I ever actually heard this on the show, but a lively debate between Solana, Hawk, and Crowder. Remember, later on, we'll have Jay Figg's movie review. But coming up next, we step into the archive here on Hawk and Crowder. You know, hearing this, Dan Day, I'm positive that U2 is the band I have seen live more than any other. I think, I don't know if I've been to as many concerts as you have. I think I've been to 4 U2 concerts. I haven't seen any other band that many times. I'm a huge fan. What would you say, Dan, is the band you've seen the most live?
Well, for me, it's kind of weird. It's better than Ezra, oddly enough.
Oh, wow.
They're huge in Louisiana.
Are they better than Ezra?
They are better than Ezra. I've seen Ezra, hung out with Ezra. But they're just huge in Louisiana. They play, you know, LSU homecomings, and 3 or 4 times a year, and the radio stations I worked at were always the hosts. So I ended up going to see Better Than Ezra like 3 times a year for like 10 years straight. So that's kind of a letdown of a story, though.
What about you, Solana? Any band or artist you've seen more than anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking bands, it's this local band. Dan Day knows I love them. The Jacuzzi Boys.
Love
down
them.
Here from
yeah,
Miami.
And I dig them. Like, you used to play them on my shows when you worked with me at night, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but the person I've seen the most, and I'm not too proud of this anymore because I've evolved as a human, as we all should be, but Kanye West. I've seen him in concert, like, seven times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the Alex Dono and Alex Solana in for Hawk and Crowder today. We're brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. Now, so before we step into the archive, we're going to play back, and I don't think I've heard this. So it's a heated debate that Solana had with Hawk and Crowder. Is there anything, Solana, before we hit the overly long open, is there anything else people should know about this segment?
Yeah, so this was on the day, I just remembered, this was on the day of the anniversary that McDonald's released their breakfast. So Hawk will go into how much he loves his hotcakes, and we get into a discussion of why they're called hotcakes and not pancakes. I make a suggestion. And basically, like every other day here on this show, Hawk and Crowder came down on me harder than ever. And this is the first time we play this best of, by the way. So it's a Dono and Solana exclusive on the Hawk and Crowder show.
So let's step in without further ado. Into the archive.
Great production by me.
So long.
What we're gonna do right here is go back. white hairs go back. Go, go back, go back, back, go back, go back, back, go back, go back, back.
Go back. Now that the intro's done, Dono, let's do it.
Is it?
This is one of the most bangers of all time. On this day in 1977, McDonald's introduced breakfast.
87?
77.
Wow.
Man, when they came out with, because 77, I was 8 years old, and my dad said to me, we can go to McDonald's and get hotcakes. I don't know what a hotcake was. It was pancakes. I'd only heard pancakes. Yep. I wonder why McDonald's called them hotcakes. It's an interesting question.
Something different.
Like hotcakes, I mean, it must be a term that people had used.
Or it would make me believe that the term pancake was copyrighted or something, right? Like they couldn't sell pancakes, so they created another name for it.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Copywriting a pancake. You know, it's like saying you're copywriting
bread.
A burger.
Like, you can't be serious with that.
You know what? He's a millennial, and millennials try to copyright simple
crap. But you would copyright McGriddle. Like, another restaurant couldn't have a McGriddle, but a flipping pancake? A pancake. It was copyrighted, the term pancake. And so they couldn't sell pancakes. Pancakes? Pancakes? McDonald's couldn't sell pancakes because someone owned the copyright to pancakes.
LeBron tried to copyright Taco Tuesday.
And they told him to sat your ass down.
But that's how they think. That's how they think. Gotta know what you're dealing with, man.
Here was the first ads for McDonald's breakfast.
No chicken on there, by the way.
Well, eggs are on there, liquid chicken.
Well, it's really not, you know.
Exactly what it is.
Chicken is not a traditional
egg is a chicken.
Breakfast meat. It's
egg comes on the top of the list of breakfast, and that's a liquid chicken. We talked about this.
I know, and we never really had resolution.
An egg is liquid chicken.
It's not dairy.
No. It's not bread. It's chicken. It's beef.
It's found in the dairy aisle. Eggs are found in the dairy section at Publix.
No, it's
absolutely.
The refrigeration section.
No,
we went through this too.
No, it's not the refrigeration section.
There's the freezer section
it
and refrigeration
dairy
section.
Dairy in big giant letters.
And dairy means made with milk. And eggs are made from chicken's insides.
But you drink milk with eggs.
And you can drink eggs because they're liquid chicken.
Let's get headlines here from Flapjack.
They still looked at the. They called them flapjacks because someone
had hotcakes. they own pancake, and McDonald's got smart, came out with hotcakes, so someone had to call them flapjacks.
Is that why you put Mick on the front of everything?
Let's get headlines here with this idiot.
One quick Google search, and you'll find that they did. Certainly not do it because it was copyrighted.
They did certainly not do it. What?
I had your back all day, bro. I'm going the other way with this one.
Why did McDonald's call pancakes hotcakes? That does autofill. So we're not the only one. According to reference.com, the answer is simple. There is no difference between hotcakes and pancakes. Both words describe the popular round flat cakes cooked on a griddle or inside a skillet. In addition to hotcakes, pancakes go by other names such as flapjacks or griddle cakes.
Yeah.
There you go. They forgot to put about the copyright, too. Carrot Top owns the copyright, inexplicably. All right, go ahead, dummy.
What you got, dummy?
The University of Miami and Alonzo Highsmith will not team up together. Barry Jackson reported earlier that UM will not be coming to terms with the former Miami Hurricane.
All right.
Somebody text, your Solana is broken. Today, you were a little off, man.
Just off, man, by a mile. What else, Salandria?
Is it really that crazy?
To say that pancakes are copyrighted?
The term pancake could have been copyrighted by a company in the 60s or the 70s, and their copyright
But you
ran
know
out.
It's the general term. Like, is cookie copyrighted?
I don't know. I don't know.
I know. No. 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 Really? You don't know? Bread? Bread? Cookies? Eggs? Eggs? Wouldn't it be great to have the copyright on eggs so no one could call them eggs? They'd have to call them, like, this dummy liquid chicken.
They are liquid chicken. I don't know what else they could be.
All right. Yeah, anything else, dummy? So somebody texts in, Tabasco is copyrighted. Right. It's a brand name.
Yeah.
It's hot sauce. You can't copyright hot sauce. You can copyright Tabasco. You can't own the word waffle. You can't own the word bread.
Okay, but Eggo, you know how.
Eggo.
Eggo, right. Eggo.
No, no joke, though. You know how Kleenex. It's just tissue
That's
paper.
That's a tissue.
Right, right. But we call it Kleenex. Like,
that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. No, it doesn't.
Because,
no, it doesn't.
Because maybe a company had come up with pancakes, and it's the reason they were called hotcakes, but the reason why we call them pancakes is because there was a company that had a monopoly on pancakes back
so
in
you're
the
saying,
60s.
He keeps saying back in the 60s.
You're saying.
You don't think pancakes were invented until the 60s?
No, but you're saying also that there was a company saying, make sure you get me. Make sure you get pancake pancake bread hotcake.
Get the pancake bread hotcake.
Hey, Mom, are you getting pancakes? Are you getting hotcakes when you go out? Yeah. Get pancake.
I don't like the flatties. Oh, boy. You bounce back tomorrow, big homie. You'll bounce back tomorrow. I promise you will.
Somebody else texted in.
I promise you will.
Generalized Kleenex. Thank you.
I promise. You'll be way better. Get you a good night rest.
I need my pancake brand flapjacks.
Goodness, Alana.
Honestly, upon hearing that, like, I have no words for Solana's buffoonery. Like, I honestly have no words. I will say, though, that what I did find to be brilliant from that segment, Solana, was Crowder's liquid chicken take. Honestly, that I never heard that before, but that really is what eggs are, because it's not dairy. It's an unborn chicken. It's liquid chicken.
Oh, my God. Dono, don't tell me you're going to give credence to Crowder's argument. We can actually probably revisit that later on this week, too. Crowder, the genesis of Crowder, arguing as passionately as he's argued anything in his entire life that eggs are indeed liquid chicken.
That was so good. I mean, honestly, like, when I heard your takes on the hotcake thing, like, I was just banging my head against the wall. But then when I heard the liquid chicken thing, I'm like, hey, he's on to something there. All right. So when we come back, we'll wrap up this Tuesday episode of the Hawk and Crowder Show in style. Jay Figg is going to join us to give us her movie review. I don't know what she watched last night. So she'll give us her movie review. We'll make new suggestions for Jay Figg for her homework tonight. That's coming up next here on Hawk and Crowder.
It's Figgy!
Cinema! Jay Figg knows it.
Hey, guys. I didn't know you guys were there. Caught me by surprise.
Watch one that we assign her and generally hate it, and it sends us all into a depression for at least a segment or two.
I fall for no banana in my tailpipe.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, it has, like, real-life situations and stuff, but I felt like the ending should have been in the middle.
Chicks dig me, because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
I don't know, I was kind of irritated the entire time.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Rhodes, where we're going, we don't need... Rose.
Biggie Fresh.
The f***ing Catalina wine mixer.
I really want to give it like a 9.5 out of 10.
And it sends us all into a depression.
Show me the money.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'll be back.
We'll see you at the movies.
Just take those old records off the shelf. Okay, I think this music is a pretty strong hint as to what J. Fig watched. Now, this is my favorite segment of Hawk and Crowder, because I love movies, and I love J. Fig's reviews, quite frankly.
And you love
Alex Dot. Yeah, and J. Fig, I know you're well-rested because you slept till like 11. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm catching up with the times.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. And I feel spoiled because apparently you keep watching my recommendations. Let me go through these real quick, J. Fig. So yesterday, I wasn't hosting yesterday, but I joined for this segment since, you know, for our weekend homework, we all watched these movies together, the Back to the Future movies. But yesterday, I suggested you watch Risky Business. Hawk suggested Bachelor Party. Crowder suggested Man on Fire. Solana went with 51st Dates. He just keeps trolling us with that. And Dan Day recommended Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. So I think I already know the answer, but let the people know what you did go with.
I went with your choice, Risky Business.
Love it. What'd you think?
So Tom Cruise, he's an awkward actor. I mean, I understand that he was he was in high school, so people are awkward during those times, and you know, they don't know how to fend for themselves or whatever, but he was a pushover. Like, that bothered me so much. I was screaming at the TV from how many times she was manipulating him into things.
So, all right, I'm afraid to even ask, but how many mozzarella sticks from 1 to 10 did you give this one?
I gave it a 7.8 out of 10 mozzarella sticks.
Okay. And yeah, well, and just, it's funny because hearing your review, that I haven't watched this movie in a few years, probably like 5 or 6 years, but I have no recollection of him being any kind of a pushover, although maybe kind of, because he
definitely did let
because the girl, but can't you understand, J. Fig, for a high school guy to be with a woman that good looking and then have her like mafia pimp guy bossing him around? I think a lot of teenagers in that spot would be pushovers.
No, I mean, that bothers me so much. No. She didn't listen. She was like, "You want me to go?" Obviously, he said go.
Oh, man. So still a good review. 7.8 mozzarella sticks for Risky Business. All right. So, J. Fig, you up for another movie tonight?
Let's get it.
All right. So I was thinking about this today. And, of course, I got to ask if you've seen this, because I'm really not sure what you've watched and haven't watched. But for my suggestion, I would like to go with, and I just keep staying in the 80s. I don't know why. I love the 80s as a decade for movies and music and all that. Have you ever seen National Lampoon's Vacation, the original Vacation with Chevy Chase?
No, never.
So I'm going to go with that. I think National Lampoon's Vacation, it was made like early 80s, I want to say. But I've seen this probably 10, 15 times. I think it holds up. I think it's hilarious. I think you'll enjoy it if you watch it.
All right.
What about you, Solana? What's your suggestion for J-Fig?
Does that hold up, Dono? Like the National Lampoon Vacation movies, do they hold up?
Yeah, not all of them. Honestly, like European Vacation, kind of meh. Vegas Vacation, not so great. I do love Christmas Vacation. Like I Dan Day, I stand for the original Vacation, the first one to Wally World, for that one and Christmas Vacation. I am obsessed with those movies. I love them. The other two, I think they've only made two. Well, they made the remake a few years ago. I didn't watch it because I have a no remake policy. But the original one and Christmas Vacation, I am obsessed with. I love those movies.
Yeah, you're not alone on that island. I'm there with you.
There's like five of them.
Yeah. Well, they just made one a few years ago where like Ed Helms plays Clark Griswold's kid, like all grown up, and he takes his family on a vacation. I think I watched like a half hour of
Are you talking about Vacation?
On HBO.
Summer Vacation. What? They go to Wally World. Am I correct?
Was it Vacation? Like just.
Yeah, it's National Lampoon's Vacation. That's the original one.
But the one that you said Vacation. Was made a couple years ago, 2015.
Yeah,
I saw that one.
I think it's just called Vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that one.
Yeah.
You're not alone on that. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched like maybe a half hour of it on TV, and it was just bleh. It was bad. Really bad.
I didn't know it originated from that. Cool.
So, Jay Fig, have you seen any of the Fast and Furious movies?
I've seen all of them.
You've seen all of them?
Yes.
Surprise.
Wait, every
single
one? I've
only seen the first two.
You've seen every single one?
Every single one.
Well, first of all, why? I'd love to know why.
Because my family likes watching them.
Even the spinoffs, like Hobbs and Shaw.
No, actually, no, I have not seen the spinoffs.
Okay, well, on this day in 2006, the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift released at theaters. Have you seen Tokyo Drift?
Yes.
Well, that really kind of derails everything that I was going to do here. I'm just going to give you 50 first dates. Let's go with 50 first dates.
You put no effort into any of this.
Well, no, I did.
Yeah, I love how like Solana can't even have a backup option. Like I've got like three movies written down, and Solana can't have a backup.
But here's the problem. Like my point always is to choose a terrible movie, and JFig has seen every damn terrible movie ever made. I mean, what do you want me to do? Actually, you know what?
My whole plan is just to ruin yours.
Which is actually a great bit. I do have a backup plan. Euro Trip. Have you seen Euro Trip?
Yes.
That's a good movie.
You cannot troll JFig when it comes to terrible movies.
I mean, what do you?
I don't think Euro Trip is terrible. I think Euro Trip was a decent
Euro
comedy.
Trip was
There's
funny.
Some memorable stuff there. Yeah.
I mean, I
enjoyed
it.
Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah, that's a banger. All right, 50
and
first
I love
dates.
The scene. I love the scene in the train with the perv Italian guy who like kept getting more and more naked every time they went through a tunnel.
Yes, yes, that is a great scene. That's when I first learned about what's the alcohol that they drink, the hallucinogen.
Oh, absinthe.
Absinthe, yeah. Never tried absinthe. I'm sure Dan Day has.
At some point, I tried it, and I was so disappointed that I didn't see, like, green fairies flying. It just made me drunk. That's it. Like, nothing special happened.
Yeah, you start drinking absinthe, and then all you do is end up throwing up in your mom's front yard.
There you go. He's done
Confirmed.
It.
Confirmed.
Try to get as much wormwood as possible. It does nothing.
Put me down for 50 first dates, JFig.
I can't wait.
JFig, will you ever actually, and I've never seen 50 first dates
what?
Either, will you ever break down and watch it?
The thing is, I have seen it, but he just continues.
Heaven forbid if we ever get a 50 first dates sequel. Heaven forbid.
51 first dates, I guess they'd probably call it.
Oh,
JFig. Dan Day, what are you going with?
I'm
going
to give you a typical Dan Day movie right when you think you have it figured out. It throws you a curveball and you totally don't know what's going on. It's long, it's drawn out, it's dark, it's strange. It is a movie by the name of Magnolia. Speaking of Tom Cruise, Magnolia.
I like that one.
I knew this was going to come to me.
I kind of warned you a while
yes,
back
you
on
did.
Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Magnolia.
I'm a big, Dan, I'm a big P.T. Anderson fan, the guy who did Magnolia. Although, for the first time, like 3 months ago, maybe, or it was like right when the pandemic started, I watched There Will Be Blood, and like it made me super depressed. Like, I'm not denying it was a really good movie, but like I had depression for like 2 days. That movie was so depressing.
Did you cry?
No,
I didn't cry. No, to be honest, like usually the movies that make me cry are, you know, obviously Back to the Future 3. I'm incredibly embarrassed about that one. I cried, and I do actually routinely. I cry at the end of Rocky, the original. Because, you know, he wins the fight, then he yells, yo, Adrian, we did it, and I tear up a little bit. I actually, guys, I cried at the end of The Dark Knight Rises when Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, goes to the Batcave and becomes Robin.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, like, I tear up at the end of that.
Yeah, no spoiler, but yeah, at the end when he's sipping on his cognac with Alfred, I mean, that right there, like, you have to take me out of the movie theater and just tears, Dono.
I want you to make me a list of every movie you've seen and have cried in so I can see if I start crying.
That's
a big accomplishment because I don't do that.
JFig, yeah, you're not like an emotional person.
Exactly.
I'd say you can be, but you're not like this, like a soft emotional person. Like, you're a very strong person. You don't seem like the type of person that would cry in The Notebook, per se.
I didn't, and I don't like that movie.
I cried in The Notebook. See, that's a perfect
I never
example.
Saw The Notebook, but there was one movie, like, years ago, I watched this with my wife, and I think she made me watch this with her just to troll me because she knew I would cry and she wanted to make fun of me. But because we watched A Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore.
Oh my God.
I was bawling. Yeah. I was like angry because like just it was so mean that they gave her cancer. Like why is it to make already a sad movie extra sad by giving her cancer? Like it was way too much.
It was sad. I have a soft spot for cancer because I've lost people to cancer, but I tried to hold it in that movie, but I do put that movie on just to see my cousin cry. I think it's so funny.
So, Jay Fig,
so I understand your wife.
Are you just holding in? Are you holding in tears? Is that what it is? Like you're trying not to show your emotions?
No, that only goes to cancer.
Just please, sometimes you got to let it out. There's nothing better than a good cry, you know?
No, I can't. Better. Sometimes I force myself to cry and it does not happen. It does not happen.
Weird.
All right, so Jay Fig, are you ready to accept your assignment?
I am ready. I'm glad you didn't forget that part.
All right. So with that said, I guess there's nothing else to say, but
we'll see you at the movies. We need to work on that.
My bad, guys. Oh, and a texter says Rocky did not win in the first movie. Actually, he's right. He didn't win the fight, but still, it was triumphant at the end. We spoiled it for Jay Fig. All right, so also, great stuff there. Oh man, tremendous stuff by Jay Fig, Dan Day back in studio, and Solana. I'm Alex Donna. We'll be on again tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. So we will speak with you on Hawk and Crowder mañana.